Meeting Chair.
Thank you very much. Welcome to this meeting of the Scrutiny Commission at Charnwood Borough Council. There are a number of things I would like to remind people of before we start the items on the agenda. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the openness of local government bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everybody present to please turn their mobile phones off or switch them to silent to ensure that the environment is distraction-free. Case in point. Thank you. This meeting of the Scrutiny Commission is being held as a hybrid meeting, and some meeting participants joining the meeting virtually. I will now ask those members if they can see and hear the meeting. Councillor Hamilton, can you see and hear us?
I can confirm I can both see and hear proceedings.
Thank you very much. Have we any apologies?
No, none, Chair.
Thank you. Minutes from the previous meeting, are we all happy with those minutes? I'll sign them, put them off. Thank you very much. And the next one is item three, disclosures of pecuniary and other registrable, non-registrable interests. I've had none, any on the agenda? Brilliant. So item four, no party whip declarations have been made. And there's no questions under the scrutiny procedure 11.16. Pre-decision scrutiny of any specific financial matters, there has been none. Item 7, Cabinet items for pre-decision scrutiny. The following items have been identified for pre-decision scrutiny from the Cabinet agenda for the 16th of November 2023, which is item 7A, HRA, Business Plan and Capacity Update, and that is on page 13. Could I ask Councillor Hamilton to introduce the report, please? And then we have Peter Oliver to answer the difficult questions.
Thank you, Chair. What you're seeing before you is the HRA Business Plan 2023-2053, and it's basically the latest iteration of the long-term business plan that the council runs with, and that's basically forms the basis of how we move forward with our investment plans on our housing stock to keep it up to the quality required. So the recommendation before you this evening is for the approval of the HRA business plan. That's on page 13 to 37, so the preamble in the text is 13 to 17, I think, and the actual Savills report, which is the consultancy that helped put this plan together, is page 18 to 37. And it's also to note that there'll be also to recommend a further review of this business plan be undertaken in 24-25. As I said, the reasons are stated, you'll see, and that's to set out on the revised financial framework how the council intends to meet the investment requirements necessary to deliver the services over the next 30 years, but also to closely monitor the projections concerning the sense in the text concerning sensitivities at the national level. So we're talking the things such as things that are outside the council control, inflationary factors, the cost of borrowing, government's cap and rents. I think, if you read the text, you'll see that I believe our rents were increased by about 7% this year, and that was a capped one for cost of living thing, but of course actual costs were running far higher than that. And I think if the cap wasn't there, I think it would have been closer to 11.1%, but it was capped at 7%. I think Peter can confirm those figures moving forward. As we know, because of interest rates, the cost of refinancing loans is higher than it was in what you've seen in previous plans. But we've also had, since the last time the plan was produced, I think there's been a housing stock survey, so we know the condition of our stock, and this allows us to identify what work needs to be done. So the key things there, from reading the report, you'll see is that although there are challenges to the costs, the borrowing is affordable. So it's within what is managing. Was it the golden? So the golden term. Peter will explain that. So you have what some have produced for us. It's our view over the next 30 years. The key things is what's the risks. That's also I look at, and that's about those things like what happens with inflation, what happens with government's rent policies moving forward, the mitigations of that are, of course, we'll be reviewing the business plans. It's something that will be looked at 24-25. And of course, the other thing is to have the resource to monitor things. So another mitigation is to, there'll be a head of land loss services who's due in post this December. So we'll have someone who'll be able to keep a track on things to make sure that things are affordable and deliveries of the services will happen. So I think that's the key points I want to make.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hamilton. I mean, the figures that I've tried to make sense of and the data that I've tried to make sense of is eye-watering. And there's quite a few things that I would like to ask, but I think it's superfluous me asking because somebody will explain it and it will just go over the top of my head. But there are things like bad debts and that I'd like to talk to you about afterwards, Peter, if that's all right, because I couldn't quite get my head around that one. So over to you then, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. I'll just alight on I'll talk you through a couple of the graphs, and hopefully that will help things to fall into place a little bit. Okay, all right. I'm going to start off with the graph on page 26. It's on page 26 of the report notes, and it's on page 7 of Savills' report. And of course, one of the reasons we've got Savills to help us with this is because, as Councillor Seaton's identified, it's quite complex financial stuff. Okay, so Councillor Hamilton mentioned that one of the things that's increased our cost, it's not actually increased, we've got better insight into the condition of our stock because we did a stock condition survey last year.
But they only surveyed 1,000, wasn't
they? They did, which is a fairly common approach to take, and so they then model it on the rest of the stock. So what that shows just here is the black line is how much have to spend on the council's housing
stock.
Sorry,
could I just stop you there?
Sorry.
If you'd like to catch up with us, we're on page 26 and Peter is just explaining the graph on page 26. Thank you. Sorry, Peter.
It's okay. I can just continue.
Yeah.
So the black line is how much money we have to spend on the council stock to keep it in good condition. Okay. And you'll then see that what happens in years go around year 6 and 7, there's a significant peak in spending. And so what that means is there's things that are falling due for replacement on a condition-based basis because they're failing, so kitchen, bathroom, roof, some of the main components. And so that they're coming down the line in about 7 years or so. So that's greater insight into the stock. And then what you see just here is there's kind of a bright blue line. The key is borrowing, okay? Because we've not got the existing finance in place, we have got the capacity to borrow the money to do it, but we haven't kind of got that amount of money sitting in the bank at the moment. So you can see that this investment is resourced through borrowing, which is the blue line, just so. Okay, hopefully that explains, in quite high level terms, what the expenditure is. If I'll just move on to page 27, so it's the next graph along.
So should interrupt. So that means year 20, we won't be borrowing.
We won't need to borrow any more, but we'll still have we'll have accrued
but
significantly
more debt. But we'll
still
be on debt. That 20 years, 30 years for kitchen
and
bathroom.
And that's a point, actually. I'll talk you through this. It's an important point to make because When Savills have done the survey, we've got a condition-based survey in front of you here. So this is, you know, and at the moment, our approach under the Charnwood standard, which is a policy position, is to aim to replace a kitchen at 20 years and a bathroom at 30 years, irrespective of whether or not it fails. So it, potentially, you could be replacing a kitchen that's 20 years old that hasn't reached the end of its life. It could still be in reasonable condition. So in our asset management strategy, there's an action in there for us to review the Charnwood standard, because this is based on condition rather than component replacement. If you look at component replacement, the costs are higher because you're replacing things likely on a more frequent basis.
Mark, can I ask you? Is this like a normal cycle that you would expect anyway?
Yes, because things come up for replacement, and so you get peaks. So you find that you have programmes delivered, and what is, you know, this is programmes delivered, what, you know, 15, 25 years or so ago, that are then coming back round again in the cycle, because, you know, you've got things that are needing to be replaced kind of all at once, as it were, over a period, or, you know, which is driving that big spike.
Because obviously we've built an estate and they're all of virtually the same age, and, you know, so their kitchens and that one.
Yeah, we've had programmes, so we've probably had, you know, big bathroom and roofing programme or whatever, or, you know, around that time, and then these things are coming to the end of their natural cycle, and then they're up for replacement in, you know, several years' time.
Can I just
related
to all of that? So this is,
no, I think it's very important that we understand
is based on the conditions survey and not based on our Charnwood standard cycle. Yes. So if we don't change the policy to change the bathroom every 20 years rather than when the bathroom, sorry, the kitchen every 20 years rather than when it's ready to or needs to be replaced, is it likely then that some of those kitchens and bathrooms will need replacing sooner than the condition survey is saying? Does that make sense?
It's possible that some of them may, it's possible that's the yes, it's possible.
Okay, thank you.
So, with that graph?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. All right, let's move on to the next graph, which is HRA debt. Because I've said that we'd have to borrow more in order to finance this work. You can see that the existing level of debt is about, that's millions on the left-hand side, so it's sitting about £79 million on the left. And then you've got the line ticks up over the years, and you can see that that initial spike is kind of where we have to start borrowing more money. Mm-hmm. And you can see that's broadly consistent with the kind of the bright blue line that was on the graph before. So it's just showing how much that borrowing goes up by, and it does go up a significant amount as well. So that's kind of almost double the amount of debt. Okay. Any questions on that graph?
I've got one. In relation to what the flow would be like as to when we would take out that borrowing. So do we do it in sort of small chunks? And I'm presuming that each time we want to take a chunk of borrowing out, that would then come through some form of review.
I'd have to come back to you on that. It's more of a kind of treasury management question. So we've got some loans that are going to be coming up relatively soon. We'll need to look to refinance those loans, but I can't respond to the question now. It's probably something broader.
Yeah, that's fine. It can be followed.
Yep, thank you. Okay, all right, and I'll take you through the next graph, which is on page 30. So Savills UK have looked at whether or not the borrowing is affordable or not, and they've done this by looking at kind of a number of different metrics that are used across the industry to inform whether or not borrowing is affordable. And those metrics are just there, and the green line is the borrowing headroom. So what it shows is that there is capacity to borrow more over the life of the business plan. What I would say, of course, is this is built on, all of this is built on a set of financial assumptions at a point in time, or actually, you know, a fair degree of, you know, kind of, you know, well, you see the news. So if interest rates were to change, you know, period of negative interest or something like that, you know, could happen, unlikely but possible. The assumptions within this will change if we tweak the Charnwood standard. We might not want to, and we don't know what's going to happen with Part Decent Homes 2 as well, because we're likely to have new standards coming out around social housing as well that could possibly influence this. But in any event, it shows its support.
So this forecast, because Savills have been doing this for quite a while, and the interest rates when Savills started weren't as they are now. So is this up to date to current borrowing levels?
It's reasonably up to date. Yeah, they looked at it earlier this year, and the position is relatively stable.
Okay. January 23, wasn't it? Commissioned.
They provided the report slightly later, which is why it's coming towards it a bit before you now rather than earlier in the year. But it was around that period.
So I've sort of got questions related to that, so that might be a good place to ask it. So one of my questions was, you've obviously had this done, and then there's another one due next year.
Yeah.
So is there a reason why we're having one a year later? Is it an annual review that gets done every year?
I think it should be, and I built it into the contract with Savills that we'd have an optional 24-25 review. So when we originally commissioned them to do all the work, built into the contract that we just have the opportunity to do a further review down the line, and it was 24-25. I think it's something we should be looking at. There's some fairly significant pressures on the HRA at the moment, and there's some coming forward in the new budget. We've obviously got this inflationary context as well, so my view is that we should bring it back next year. I think it would be prudent to do a similar exercise on an annual basis to check affordability. Mm.
But that was in the existing contract, this coming up review.
Yes.
It's not planned.
It wasn't new. It was in there as deliberately put in there as an option to do it.
So this will, be happening every year to basically.
I've not built it into the contract, but I do think it's appropriate to review the HRA business plan on an annual basis, particularly as we sit here now in this context of relatively high inflation and change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Is that it?
It is. I thought the three graphs hopefully.
Questions? Oh yes, it was mine, wasn't it?
Bad debt provision.
Where's that? I've got it marked. I've got so many marks on it. So I'm not going through all of them. So it's on page 35, Savills Appendix 6. And it's, six, Appendix 3, Financial Tables. So it's the second chunk down, which are repairs and maintenance, then it's got management, then it's got bad debts, which is now 318. I just wondered why it was so high there, and then it's forecasted to be a lot lower.
I'd need to look at behind it and see what builds into it. May relate to void may relate to void loss, and hence a predicted improvement in position going forward for years.
Right, okay.
I'd probably like to check prior to giving you
it's a sudden drop from 318 to 117, and then it keeps quite consistent, and then sort of gradually goes up. So it's just that initial sudden drop. So if it's relating to voids, then I don't realise that you're getting rid of that many voids enough to make it.
It's probably be over an 18-month period to see a reduction rather than immediate. Yeah.
And the other one, my question would have been on the interest, but we won't go into that. And then it was, I think I've scribbled major repairs at the bottom. Oh yes, and it's some major repairs for 22-23 is 1.8 million, and then 23-24 1.8 million, and then it's naught.
Yeah.
Why would that be?
Yeah, it's used. It's a fund that's been built up, and then it's being used to fund the capital programme that we looked at before.
Right. Okay.
On that very first graph, there's some small. So a small proportion of the graph is made up. It says other funding.
Okay.
It features in there.
It's in there. Yeah. Right, that's me done. Is there any other? Are there any other questions?
Yes, thanks.
Councillor Arbour Davis.
Thanks, Chair. Mine more practical rather than figure related, though, Peter. And I just wondered whether, obviously, to looking at the figures, going through the figures as the HRA plan going forward. But mine were mentioned on page 15 about crime and disorder, obviously going forward. But in the report, I couldn't see anything on how we're going to relate to crime and disorder. Obviously, around mentioned about ASB. I just wondered how will this check. Well, first of all, that obviously there's a new white paper out, isn't there? And I think it would have been quite helpful to have like a synopsis of the white paper, because that affects the way we plan for going forward, doesn't it? And the changes that we possibly may see because of the new white paper. So it would have been really helpful to have like just a small synopsis of what the legal requirement is by the white paper to scrutiny. I find that quite helpful, and how that affects the HRE plan, and moreover the tenancies that we have, and how will we achieve what it said, the Crime and Disorder Act, and it said we will tackle our ASB and manage neighbourhoods, and manage neighbourhoods are funded along with sums of for estate improvements and installation maintenance, etc., etc. I mean, the communal entrance doors, they must be nearly all done now, aren't they, the communal doors?
There's a lot of them.
I remember the communal doors well. So I just wondered, you know, what effect will the white paper have, and how will this, going forward, how will our neighbourhoods be safer from a tenancy perspective?
Okay. I think in respect to emerging developments around ASB, we probably need to bring something separately. But what I can say is that the comments within the HRA business plan or within the HRA budget, there are budgets for the antisocial behaviour team.
Yeah.
There's a budget for, as you know, the communal door entry systems, and that's factored into those capital sums that you looked at just there as well. There's estate and external works improvements and lighting improvements. So the reason I referenced antisocial behaviour is because is that the money that's in the plan will fund those services. Therefore, it has a positive impact on community safety.
Yep. So that will have a more positive effect than we've seen to date.
It will have a positive effect and a continued positive effect because we're putting the resource in there.
Okay, that's great. And then if I may use another one.
Can I just come back on that one? Because it's the same as what you've done. Yeah. I've underlined a reasonable action. Who decides what's reasonable action? That's in the crime and disorder again.
Oh, that's well,
that's all I was.
Okay, all right. The Crime and Disorder Act.
Yeah.
So that's what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in summary, is that local authorities need. We decide what reasonable action is. I guess you've got the community safety partnership as well. Okay. I guess you know what's reasonable is like what the common person in the street might consider to be reasonable, acts in accordance with all the statutory guidance that we have.
So it can vary between districts and councils.
We need to follow the best practice issued by and the statutory guidance in respect of ASB legislation and things like that. So that's what good looks like, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Were you on that one?
Yeah, so there would be what you were just saying there about the reasonable action and its best practice, and it's across different boroughs. We must have a policy somewhere that says what that is, though.
There's a corporate actually antisocial behaviour policy.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, there's the community safety partnership plan as well.
Okay.
Sorry, Nick.
Okay, thank you.
Was it on the crime and disorder?
No.
I wondered, there weren't any, I couldn't see any additional comments from HMAB, which I hugely respect because I think they are our tenants. And I couldn't see any additional comments unless I missed them in the report. It just referenced them to say that obviously the report has been shown to HMAB. Yeah. And I just wondered if they had any additional comments.
They didn't have, if I may chair through, they didn't have any additional comments to make. They considered it, they received the presentation from Tuffles UK. They said comfortable with what was before them. It was almost it was very, very similar. It was the same information as you pretty much you presented with this this evening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pete. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Lennon.
Yeah, the query that I have is about the table on page 32, and it's about the void rates, which are noted to be higher than the sector average due to difficult to let sheltered properties. Is that mainly for older people?
Yes, but I'd say in addition to the sheltered properties, the void rate is higher overall compared to the local authorities, so it's a combination.
So I just wondered how Charnwood is engaging with presumably elderly council tenants to make the sheltered properties more attractive, or moving to sheltered properties more attractive.
Yeah. There's a review of sheltered accommodation in progress at the moment. Right. I think one of the challenges with the accommodation is the some of the bedsits are very small. The kitchens do not have adequate space and layout. They don't have their own bathrooms within them, so the tenant would have to go down a corridor to find the bathroom. Mm. So we've got actually stock that no longer meets the aspirations of older people. Hence, we've got
anybody else for that
matter. Absolutely. You know, they were probably right in the late 60s, early 70s when they were constructed, but you know, times moved on, aspirations have moved on as well, so they're no longer fit for purpose.
So they're being altered, are they?
There's a review in progress, and so looking at scheme by scheme basis.
Either altered or demolished.
Yes, thank you. Can I just
add, it might help Councillor Lenny though, we altered the age for the shelter accommodation down to 55 about five years ago, was it? So we think of them being as elderly residents, but they're altered. we try to fill the voids.
Yeah.
But because of what Pete said, they're not really, you wouldn't choose to be in them, to be fair.
Mm. Councillor Gray.
In terms of this plan, I know we've discussed voids, but obviously we have an acute housing shortage, we have an acute housing crisis. Has there been any thinking in this long term of adding to our stock? I mean, I can see references to replacing from right to buy where they're ring fenced, but actually, additional houses.
So there's some money in the housing revenue account business plan. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feature actually the additional volumes for significant improvements like house building.
Yeah.
It's not in there, but it does show that the borrowing capacity exists.
That's what I wondered, whether that was something that.
So it's likely there'll be a capital sum brought forward in the capital plan for next year,
okay.
Because when we sell a property under the right to buy, or a property is bought under the right to buy, we can retain some of that receipt only, and we have to give some back to you, but we can use some of that to spend on the council property, but then we have to use our own money to top that up. And actually, it's the majority of the money would be money from the housing revenue account. So there will be some budgets brought forward in the future. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any comments? No? Yes. Thank you, Nick. I just wanted to ask a really simple question, because this sort of thing is quite new to me as well.
Oh, that's Councillor Hamilton then.
is this level of borrowing for this type of work, is that usual? Because like we've all said, we're looking at huge figures which seem astronomical to us. But is that fairly standard? Is that the kind of level of money that other councils would be using to do this type of work?
Certainly. So in 2012, essentially, the council, like many other councils across the country, kind of bought their way out effectively of the kind of subsidy scheme with government, and effectively took on a big, like a big mortgage for the housing stock. So we're not dissimilar in that respect. I did see an article relatively recently actually by Sam that many other local authorities are significantly under pressure because of these inflationary pressures, capped rents. So there are significant challenges around housing finance for organisations across the country, but it's not unusual for local authorities to have a significant amount of significant amount of existing debt because of what happened back in 2012 when councils moved to being stock retained and owning.
Right, okay. So there will be other councils borrowing similar levels for similar reasons?
Yes.
Okay, and so I've understood this report is saying that we can do that with fairly moderate risk.
Yes, Savills have said there's significant borrowing capacity within the plan, but as I said, I do think that we need to keep a very close eye.
That's why I was interested in how often it's reviewed.
Yeah, certainly, because the thing is, with the HRA business plan, if you add in, you know, half a million pounds, okay, I mean, it's a lot of money, but if you times it by 30, which is over the life of the plan, it actually has a really significant capital impact. That's 15 million. You know, additionality on the capital plan, even just putting a post in the structure or a couple of posts, you know, £100,000, and has that knock-on effect. Mm. So yes, I do believe that we need to keep a close eye on it. There are pressures that are coming forward. I do anticipate it to be a kind of hump in spending over the next couple of years or so, but then I do think there needs to be some trimming back going forward.
Of course, with a lot of the councillors here, I don't know whether I'm the only one that can remember the Alma.
I can remember Isabel
Rickard. Oh, yeah, that was one.
Yeah.
and for the life of me, I can't think what the O was for, but it's arm's length management.
Organisation.
Organisation. Yeah. I couldn't think of any other word beginning with O, but organisation. And I think the colour was purple because I can remember the corporate things and exhibitions. All right, we're going for this now, and then all of a sudden we weren't. We drew everything back in, borrowed a horrendous amount of money at that time to remortgage it, and then bring it back into house.
Very limited stores, didn't we? We didn't do as well as we were hoping to get through the Almo.
No.
What was it though?
I can't remember how many, it was like two stars or something.
Seems to ring a bell.
But that wasn't, I mean, I started off how it is now, and then the Almo was introduced, so then it all left us. All the housing stock went to this, and then it's all come back again. So I know it didn't actually go anywhere, but it's just on paper and processes and procedures and follow. So I'd like to say it's a good plan, but I can't understand a lot of it. That's why we employ people like Savills that obviously can. And I'm satisfied that Peter has said that we're going to do the aim is to do an annual review, although it's only on paperwork for next year. But he would be comfortable with it if it was an annual review on that, and to keep our eye on it. Without it, then the stock would just depreciate, wouldn't it? So, okay. Any other comments at all? No?
I'd love an executive summary. It would be so helpful for figures. And I made any additional comments on HR before. And executive summary would be really helpful in understanding all the figures, which are very complex to understand. And you really helped us understand them. But it would be helpful if we just had a short paragraph of this graph means this. That would be really helpful. Next time, please.
Yes, because it was. Councillor Hamilton, would you like to finish the discussion off?
I'm glad. I thought the questions that came out was brilliant because they were the things I was scribbling down reading through it. But the key takeaway from me is that, it's good that we will be reviewing this and keeping an eye on it. Because my understanding is when we did a lot of borrowing in the past, and that was the right thing to do at that time because it was actually quite money was cheap then, but now interest rates are high. So I think it was mentioned that when we're doing a borrowing now, a lot of treasury management question, you think it's something we might want to do in small chunks in anticipation that interest rates will be coming down over the next few years. So it's how you actually do that borrowing is something to watch and keep an eye on. Because as you say, big sums of money. And so as long as we're closely monitoring, I think that's a comfort to me.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Chair, sorry, can we just see if we agree the recommendation?
Oh, sorry, do we agree the recommendation?
Yes, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you very much, as set out. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Colin.
Peter's going to stay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the next one. So the next item is item 8, which is a pre-decision scrutiny for the Cabinet responses to page, and that's on page 38.
Thank you, Chair. So since the last meeting of the Commission, the Cabinet have considered the following items: climate change strategy and action plan, review of the planning enforcement plan and changes to the constitution. And with each report, Cabinet adopted the officer recommendations, which the Commission supported both the three items there. So that's literally just for noting that item.
Thank you. Right, scrutiny panels, which is page 40, item 9.
Thank you, Chair. So this report sets out the scrutiny panels. So first of all, with the Housing Needs Scrutiny Panel, you'd be pleased to know that I am meeting with Katie Moore and Councillor Monk on the 27th of November to scope out the document for that one, with a view to the panel starting in February time, as requested. The Budget Scrutiny Panel is underway and its next meeting's on the 12th of December. The third one we've got underway at the moment is the Public Transport Scrutiny Panel, and that is due to meet for the first time on the 13th of December, and we had a good level of interest from members. We got six panel members to come on to that, which I'm really pleased about. And then moving on to the appendix here, so I just wanted to highlight a couple of things on here. So bear with. So in the on page 44, so the blue area on that, so we've got a potential scrutiny panel on utilising council assets, and you may recall that this was considered at the Finance and Performance Scrutiny Committee, particularly in regards to the void garages. And I thought it would be helpful if Peter could explain where we are with that, so that you can make a decision if you require a scrutiny panel or not.
Right, this was Councillor Mark Charles put this forward, and we did speak to Councillor Charles a couple of weeks ago, and because the voids, the garages, were on the work programme for the finance, if you can remember. And I think his view was it was he still wanted to go ahead with it. But Peter, you've got some other info for us.
The corporate business plan action to develop an asset management strategy. And so it was, scrutiny had asked for an update on that strategy, which was provided. And so that strategy is currently in development. So the expectation is it will be brought forward this financial year. So scrutiny will have the opportunity to look at the resulting cabinet report prior to it going over to cabinet. So it's in the pipeline.
So that's fine.
So in that case then, we've obviously got this listed utilising council assets. So how do you want, to take that off the list, bearing in mind what Peter has just said?
It makes sense.
And we'll be scrutinising it.
I was going to say that's one of the things, wasn't it, about the panels, is that they need to, where the work isn't already being done or isn't about to be done, so you're not duplicating, and it will still get scrutinised just here instead, rather than on a panel.
Yeah, so there'll be because there will be pre-scrutiny on that particular item. So that's okay. So that will be a resolution from this committee to remove that. And then on the list again, we've got dementia-friendly council and loneliness. And it's been Sally May need to help me with this one because I wasn't at the last meeting. I had an email back. It's actually Peter, in fact, I should say. So
email back.
And given that the function there is a suggestion that we have a briefing note, I understand, on this as well, rather than, so that again, you could not take it off the list.
No, but we did discuss this, and we didn't know what was already in place. So to find out what's in place already, and then make the decision.
So there's been a suggestion that you have some sort of briefing paper come to you. Consider that, and then next time possibly you can have a look at it again, see if you want to have that scrutiny panel. I suggest that you take that off, keep that on, have a read the briefing paper, and then take it from there. Then the other ones, the HMOs and brownfield sites, tackling substance misuse. I understand that we are setting up some briefings for those, and it's Mickey Conway in the team is looking into that. So they're basically ongoing, and you'll have a briefing. And the idea is we'll keep it on the list.
I do apologise about my cough.
Do you want me to go and get some water?
No, it is a nervous thing.
And then we'll keep it on the list, and then obviously once you've had those briefings, then you can decide if you want to have a panel or not. But bear with us, because we're only scheduling one briefing per calendar month. We occasionally put extra ones in, and the suggestion was that HMOs was one of the first ones, antisocial behaviour a later one. So by the time you've got through those lists, it might be January time, so it won't go off the list.
That's fine.
And that's the
don't mention it to Councillor Smidovich.
I think that briefing's already set up, honestly. So that's basically the update on scrutiny panels, and it's good to see that progress is being made one way or another. So good.
The parishes, I understand ours is anyway, feeding into the transport review.
Yes, that's right.
So hopefully by that time, the 12th of December, a county council might have the results of that.
Yeah, I contacted members, borough councillors and parishes, and we have had quite a few responses actually, so that will feed into the first meeting of the public transport scrutiny panel.
Can I add something? I used to be on the Friends of the bus that goes from Loughborough to Ashby, which is subsidised by the county council, and it's the only bus that reaches half of Shepshed, and it's not very frequent. But would we be able to approach the people who were on the Friends of the Bus committee, if you like, because that was the only way we saved the service at all? These are lay people, so would we be able to ask if they can address?
Yes, through you, Chair. If I could have a conversation with you about that outside of the meeting, Councillor Lenny, and we'll speak to the Chair, Councillor Maynard, and I'm sure we can get some involvement there.
Yeah, they could come in as witnesses or something like that.
Yeah.
But obviously, we need
I'll
to organise.
Twist their arm, because their shining star died a couple of years ago, and it's dwindled a little bit, so it's even more under threat now. Because if you don't keep going at it, nobody saves the bus service.
I'll contact you outside the meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that's the update on the scrutiny panels.
Thank you.
So item 10, scrutiny work programme, which is on page 46.
So this one is to review the finance performance scrutiny work programme and to make any amendments that you feel necessary. I don't know, are there any amendments you wish to change?
No.
Okay, so in that case we'll note it as set out in the appendix.
Thank you. Item 11, scrutiny commission work programme. So the first part of the work programme is the finance and performance scrutiny work on there.
And then we've got Appendix 1, which sets out the current Scrutiny Commission work programme. And then the key thing that you have a look at, pardon the pun, is the list of key decisions, which starts on page 60. And looking through items that you might want to pre-scrutinise, in addition to what's already on your work programme, is on page 62, the corporate strategy for 2024-28. It's a 4-year strategy that's going to Cabinet in January and then Council in February. Would you wish to add that to your pre-scrutiny?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
The item underneath that is, so this is Peter's item, a decant and disturbance policy, which is going to Cabinet on the 11th of January. Would you like that to be pre-scrutinised?
What is it?
See, the only thing I know how to decant.
Yeah,
is
red wine.
And probably fortifying
pork. I'm guessing it's not that.
But decant means tipping out, so...
It's moving. Sometimes we have to move a tenant into alternative accommodation if there's a problem with the existing property. And so what this sets out is the sums, by the so that people aren't financially disadvantaged, the sums
right.
which we'll pay. So it's, I wouldn't describe it as a particularly contentious policy. It's probably just more kind of regularising the things that we do already and setting it out in a bit of a process.
So if we're looking at that, would we be looking at it just because we're interested in it, or are we looking at it because we want to scrutinise it? I think we'd be looking at it really because it's got an interesting name.
Is it more that it's stuff that we do already, and like you say, we're just kind of creating a policy so that we've got a set,
yes.
a set process?
Absolutely.
And so yes. we're not hugely changing what we already do, it's
not,
just a case of it's just
clear.
Making it,
no.
writing it down so that we know.
Absolutely.
I don't know if we
need to
see
that. No. As I say, when you read it out tonight, it's like,
what's this? The other item underneath that is to consider declassification of properties designated to be let to people over the age of 45.
I would love
yes on that one. And then the other one here is the next one, not the next, it's a housing strategy, the council's housing strategy, going to Cabinet in February. Would you like to see that?
Yeah. And we've already got the Charnwood grants.
Yes, that's right. And then we had a discussion earlier about the rare various finance reports, and they do tend to go through either audit committee, go through budget process, or to finance performance. So obviously it's not to say you can't say, oh, we'll have that, but
we don't
be aware of the
duplication. The budget scrutiny normally cover that.
So. And the only thing I've circled is the homeless and the sleeping reduction strategy, but that's not until 7th of March.
Yeah.
That's
still put it on if you want.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll put that one on as well, can't we? And that was all I was going to highlight. So anything else on that key decision list?
Nope.
So that's the works programme, and we'll amend it accordingly. And then back to you to close the meeting.
Yes, well, that was short and sweet.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Hamilton's gone. So the next meeting's the 11th of December. Thank you very much for being here this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Sally.
Thanks for the help.